hello and welcome. You're listening live, by the way, to the KKFI Arts Magazine show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this cold but not too bad otherwise Monday here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Nice to have you with us on this day. I think you'll enjoy what we have coming up during the course of the program here today. First, our journey will be up to Parkville, Missouri. That is the home of the Bell Road Barn Players. One time it was on Bell Road. Jenkin David was a professor at Park University. He decided he wanted to have summer theater, and from what I was told, it was to keep his kids out of trouble. But he had a barn up on Bell Road, and the last time I was up there, the barn was actually there. I don't know about now, but it was actually there. I took part in some rehearsals that were in that barn. They then moved on to Riverside. The big flood came. They were flooded out. They were vagabonds for a while, frankly, and then finally back at Park University. Well, they probably should have been all along anyway to do their schedule of shows. They are presenting a show called An Awkward Christmas. It's 14 pieces long, and it's about, let's talk to the writer of three of the plays. Jamie Linderman is with us. You explained to me earlier that these were like candid moments of awkward family photos woven into plays. Is that a very good description, or is it so bad I shouldn't even have said anything?
That's an accurate way to describe it. All of us, we're given the prompt. There's a website, kind of a movement of finding unusual pictures from the pre-internet era and then ongoing now, that's collected for awkward family photos. There have been coffee table books and things released. And so for us, we were looking at those holiday pictures, the sorts of things that get sent out with everybody's annual Christmas letter that you wonder, why did they take this picture and why do they want people to see it? So all of the playwrights, myself included, scoured the internet for the sorts of pictures that make you ask a question like, what's going on here? Why did this seem like a good idea? And so all of us wrote plays that kind of answer that question for ourselves. How did we end up here? What were these people thinking? So we end up with plays between 4 and 8 minutes long that all either end or spring from one of these awkward pictures. So that those are the prompt for all of us.
So there are 14 plays altogether. You have written three of them,
yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're not going to see 3-4 minute plays and have that be it.
We've got a full night prepared. We've got monologues. We've got short plays. We've got some recurring elements that come up throughout. I kind of wanted to touch on universal stuff, family relationships, couples, crime procedurals, the sorts of things that everybody
really
has
fits.
Experience
yeah.
with. Yeah. Real universal stuff. Because I think that's where a lot of awkwardness comes from. Ernest attempts to make a connection, but people don't know how to do that, really. So my shows are hopefully a warm look at how some of these things could have come about.
It's nice that you took the warm route. If I were talking about past family reunions of extended family that I've been to, it was always a disaster.
I was definitely talking to a playwright who said they were working on a show and it got a little too dark for a night of short Christmas-themed plays. They did have to abandon one and write something else. We tried to keep it fun.
Okay. Diane Boland is the director. You decided you wanted to do Jamie's shows, I guess.
I applied to direct for Bell Road Barn, and I said, here, Jamie's written three plays. Why don't you direct these three out of the 14 for the Awkward Christmas?
You've directed many times now. You've also performed as an actress.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Most recently at Olathe Civic Theater, I was in. I directed Superior Donuts with one of our other guests.
I did that too. That's amazing.
He was.
That's Michael Junker, who has several roles in these episodes.
I only have one role, but it's the same one three times.
Oh, you're a reoccurring.
Yes, I'm one of the reoccurring elements that Jamie was talking about. I'm in a piece written by Mark Ricketts and directed by Maggie Killian about, I really don't think you can have an awkward Christmas photo display without photos from Santa. So my character is that mall Santa in a CD bar, regaling the audience with the trials and tribulations of being that mall Santa.
So the idea is to bring your kids to a CD bar to visit Santa?
Oh, yeah. No, he's just talking about things in his past. If there's kids in the bar, you should probably tell someone. But as the play goes on and he regales the stories, he consumes more and more libations. And so by the end of the show, he's having a fantastic time.
I'll bet. Where have you been seen before?
I was last in Superior Donuts with Diane, which was an awesome time. I'm seeing several of the Olathe Civic Theater shows, a couple cameos at the Barn Players, at the White Theater, been there too, just off Broadway. So I do one or two shows a year just around town, whatever calls to me.
Jamie, do you always write? Do you also direct sometimes? Do you perform?
Well, I write and perform with a local murder mystery company. That's actually how I know Diane.
You can say which one.
With KC Mystery Players.
Okay.
And so we've been writing our own scripts and performing them. So I'm an improv performer in those shows and also help build the scenarios that we all riff on with our audience members. So it's been, the last couple of years, it's mostly been improv performance and writing.
Since you're the only playwright that's here, let's concentrate on your three plays.
Sure.
Based on awkward family experiences, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to divulge?
None of them are my family experiences, although because I wrote them, I'm sure some of that crept in anyway. But I don't know that my family's going to come see these shows. So hopefully they won't recognize themselves in any of that.
Know.
Sure, sure.
I always go on the assumption that none of mine are going to hear any of my shows, but I'm sometimes wrong. What did you mean about that?
My three shows, Do You See What I See?, which is about a couple who volunteered to be Mary and Joseph in a live nativity at their church, but the item that they did not share with the congregation is that instead of a baby Jesus, they were bringing their French bulldog Petunia to be the Lord and Savior. So that conversation is underneath them dealing with the rest of the congregation coming through and trying to be respectful to dog Jesus.
How does Michael fit into that one?
Oh, I don't.
Oh, he does. Okay.
No, yeah,
okay, just curious.
We're in different parts of the awkward family universe.
Right.
And then I've got Everywhere a Sign, which is a family conversation that comes from sort of a fun Pinterest picture that went viral a while ago with everybody holding up signs about how excited they are about family events, and one sister who's clearly not participating in that event. And so I kind of wanted to know what her deal was and how we get to her story. So I've created this I think, fun family interacting with each other over the sorts of things when you're coming home for Christmas and everybody's got their questions.
Yeah.
Oh, are you seeing anybody? How are things going on the job front? And everybody always means well, but those end up some of the most awkward conversations. So kind of jumping off of that, of, you know, being a middle or youngest kid and feeling like everybody else is in a different place and you still want to be yourself in
sometimes
in
that's
this family thing.
Just as a conversation piece, sometimes it's meant to be cruel, though. You can tell when you listen.
Yes. No, there's definitely some intentional jabs throughout the script with the family. And then some of it is just the sort of thing that you're trying to say one thing and it comes across another way and it gets blown out of proportion. And Diane found some really great performers who are finding a lot of really fun stuff in there. That one's coming along really, really sharp. And then my last one is Naughty List, which is some police officers following up after an all Santa Claus brawl at a bar, based on real experiences in SantaCon in major cities where folks do kind of holiday-themed pub crawls and get pretty rowdy. So you've got dozens of Santa Clauses descending on a venue and just destroying it. So we're in the aftermath of one of those. So we've got some of the crime procedural elements of the snappy one-liners, and everybody's going through looking for evidence with a completely clueless bartender who seems unaware of Santa Claus or the whole holiday season in general. So we got to kind of poke fun at how we've built up so much of...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
One of my most fond Christmas memories, not true, is two of my uncles getting into a brawl right over by the kegs. If that
oh, yeah. No, drunken fistfights, I think, are an American Christmas tradition. So I did want to at least address some of that. Well, family tension. And
we think there might have been a love triangle with an elf.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Yeah, the one uncle has passed on. I think the other one is still with us, but he knows it happened, so what did he say to me? But yeah, that was, even though I was very young at the time, I always kept that impression. And can you imagine that kids do today? They see these things and they remember that.
Oh, sure.
People and think they forget it, but they don't.
And if... you know, if this goes well enough that we're doing more awkward shows next year, I might need to interview you for some conversations for next time.
You'll find it interesting. You said Diane, who's directing all of Jamie's plays. Are you directing ones that are not plays of Jamie's?
No, just the three.
Just the Jamie's? Yep. Well, he complimented you on your casting, so talk about that for me. Who,
yeah,
what kind
yeah.
of people were you looking for, and who, if you want to name them?
We had a great turnout at auditions, and I think among the seven directors, we ended up casting over close to two dozen performers, a lot of whom I'm working for the first time. Mm. Do You See What I See stars Clint Hall and Colin Say Selby. Everywhere Is Signs, a great cast. It's Rebecca Dempsey, Mike Wimpy, Nicole Hall, and Hannah McGee. And then Naughty List is also Nicole and Mike Wimpy, as well as Nadine Civitello. So a nice mix of actors I've worked with in the past and actors who I'm working with for the first time.
Oh, sir, did you like Mike? It fits.
Yeah, no, we've actually...
he does a good job.
Yeah, I've worked with him before in a short play event in Independence last year, one where I was acting and wasn't writing for that one. But yeah, there's some of these folks I've known around town. It's a small enough community. You see folks on stage, but just a neat batch of folks. I think I give Mike a couple pages off at the beginning of each show, so he gets to come in halfway through. And they're short plays anyway, so
watch out for those dramatic entrances from Mike. Yeah,
I'll bet. Well, if they're new people to you, or do you find them easy to guide through the process?
Everyone has been great to work with. I mean, it's a really quick, you know, quick and dirty process of rehearsals. We maybe rehearsed, you know, just a few hours over the last couple of weeks, and we're into Tech Week with all the final dress rehearsals coming up. And yeah, everyone's been, you know, really, really great to work with, coming up with, you know, really great contributions to each piece.
When you find new material, basically new material, do you consult with the playwright on things, or do you have pretty much free reign?
Oh, no, it was great to have Jamie alongside for the first rehearsals for all three of them, just try to, you know, really understand the background for each of these pieces. And what I really love about the tone of these all three plays is that they're very much rooted in realism, but I really enjoy plays that are just slightly off-kilter, that have just a tiny element of the absurd. You know, it's absurdist light. It's very much literally situation comedy, but without the sitcom-y TV formulaic laugh every 20 seconds jokes. It's really more rooted in the actual situation and the relationships between the characters.
Certainly. Now, Michael, you play one role, I guess, throughout all three of these, and you're lucky to have it woven into every storyline.
Well, it's not really, it's their own separate monologues. We just visit this mall Santa back at the bar later on in the show. He appears once in Act One, and twice in Act Two. So, yeah, working with Mark in the beginning with our playwright, it's great to find out where he's coming from and show him how his words kind of, he took things that were that I said. And it's like, oh, I didn't mean it like that, but that's funny. We'll go with that. So it was great for him and Maggie.
Too. All the playwrights love it when the actors change the lines and it's better.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and getting to hear the words out loud for the first time is so exciting. Because it's one thing when you're giggling to yourself and writing it all down, and it's another thing to hear it out loud from other people. And they're finding new moments and a spin on it. And to hear, these are actually funny coming from other people. It's not just funny to myself. So I've been very lucky that Diane believed in the shows and that all of my actors seemed to think they were amusing as well. I haven't been at a couple of rehearsals, so if they've changed their mind, they haven't told me. So.
Well, from writing murder mysteries, the audience is often apart, and mm-hmm. that tends to change things sometimes. So you're probably used to a degree of that happening.
Oh, yeah.
Out of necessity.
I am not a territorial playwright. I have cut almost all of my stage directions because I don't want to tell Diane how to do her job. I just want to get some fun stuff in the room and see how it comes out. And that approach, I think, is giving, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, giving her enough leeway to find things in the show, which is why I'm comfortable doing a rehearsal and coming back in this weekend and seeing how it all turns out.
Well, would you like to expand and do maybe longer versions of some of these?
You know, I probably think The Family and Everywhere a Sign has some legs. I don't know that checking in more with Dirk and Susan from Do You See What I See with Dog Jesus. I don't know how much more show there is there. I think we've checked in with them
I've seen the rehearsal, and I want to know more. I want to know what it's like when they get home.
Excellent. And I think Naughty List could have an exciting prequel with kind of a Christmas-themed Yakety Sax destruction of a bar. seeing some of how that shakes out and watching our clueless bartender try to make sense of the world she finds herself in.
Performances start Thursday the 13th at 7:30, continue on Friday the 14th, just a few days away at 7:30. Saturday the 15th, also at 7:30, a matinee on Sunday afternoon the 16th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Bell Road Barn on the campus of Park College, 8700 Northwest River Park Drive, Parkville, Missouri. If you MapQuest things, you need that zip code 64152. We're speaking with the director, the playwright, and the performer. But to be fair, we probably should mention some of the others that are in the show. Can you think of a few? Probably not all of them, if there's 14 of them. But anything you'd like to point out? Any performers or other people involved in the show as well?
I don't know how many playwrights there were. Jamie and Mark Ricketts, who wrote the Santa monologues. Mm-hmm. We had contributions from a lot of local playwrights.
Sure. Well, let me ask then, who was the inspiration for the idea for all of this? Was it one of you three, the group as a whole?
Matt Henches, our producer, is involved with Bell Road Barn, and he was involved in the short play thing that I was in last year. And so when he found out that I was writing some unrelated shows, he said, you know, I've got this idea where we're going to get all these pictures from an Awkward Family Photos album, and we're going to write new Christmas plays. This is going to be our foray into sort of a recurring Christmas event. And so he pitched me on the idea last year. And and this is kind of his baby, coming up with this concept and throwing out this prompt to the community and reaching out to playwrights that he knew. And so with him being related to so many folks who've come through the Bell Road Barn, was able to drum up a bunch of great submissions, and I was lucky to be a couple of them.
Is it easier in this kind of a format than it was at, I assume you're talking about Independence, where they had limitations on time and things like that?
I don't know that any of us were trying to write a new 45-minute one act to, you know, rival A Christmas Carol or something. it's really fun to be able to do kind of this hit it and quit it short format thing. And I think finding these inspirations, because there's always that fear of the blank page.
Sure.
Where somebody says, quick, write a funny thing about Christmas. And you're going to sit there for a while. But if you get to leaf through these pictures and you find one that really grabs you, you're going to... you could get four playwrights in a room and show them the same picture. You're getting four different plays.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, this. I guess to answer that question, I would say, it has to be the photo of, I was expecting to get this, but I actually got this.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an awkward family portrait minute.
Yep.
The portraits that are used for my monologues, you just look at them, it's like, why? What in heaven's name?
So you're talking about actual pictures?
Oh yeah, they flash up on the wall.
I see. But what about it made it so awkward?
I don't want to spoil a lot of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But oh my God, mine in particular are just so weird. I mean, these poor mall Santas, they have my pity and my thoughts and prayers.
Well, that's a hard job.
You know? Yes. Oh yes. And I've helped with photos with Santa before, so I'm aware how. The things they go through. So, just some of these people. It's like one of them is just a Santa getting arrested, which, just like Jamie said, you can make so many stories just on that. And I don't know how, I don't want to peer into the mind of Mark Ricketts, but God knows how he got that monologue going on. But he does a great spin on it, too.
Well, that's good. Do you use that to inspire the performers as they go along? And how do you inspire performers for something like this?
Yeah, Jamie included the picture of each inspiration photo in with the script. So as we had the auditions, I could coach them on where these people are coming from, what their backstory is, and how they got to this point.
How did we get to this point?
Yes.
Yeah, that's often that's a story within itself that often doesn't get told, but you bring it to reality, at least on stage,
mm-hmm.
an on-stage reality in the Barn Players version. It's called An Awkward Christmas, based on awkward Christmas photos, and we've all seen them, and we all get these newsletters. I get several of them from distant family members, and I learn things about them I never knew, even though we've been related all of my life, anyway, for a long time, of course. Vignettes of Awkward Christmas Photos. That'll be on stage at the Bell Road Barn Thursday the 13th through Sunday the 16th. Evening performances at 7:30 on the first three evenings. Matinee on Sunday the 16th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Bell Road Barn, Park University, 8700 Northwest River Park Drive, Parkville, Missouri. The number to call for more information, 816-587-0218, or I assume you can go online and make arrangements as well, bellroadbarn.org.
Correct.
Yeah.
Tickets are $10 a piece.
Anyway, we're not supposed to give prices here.
Sorry.
So we'll he's retracting that.
Yes.
You were wrong about that.
I forgot.
Oh, yes. Okay. All of that. But that will be happening beginning on Thursday the 13th at Park University. Do they have a show coming up after this one? Does anyone know? How soon? After the holidays are clear?
I believe in early January they're holding auditions for Our Town.
Yep. They have a history of doing Our Town. I guess the very first show they did many moons ago was Our Town, and it comes up every few years anyway. Anyway, the Bell Road Barn has a history of doing Our Town. It's that and Quilters are two of their signature pieces that they do quite often at the Bell Road Barn in its long history. In fact, there is a running argument which community theater group is actually the oldest, and it comes down to one of the two barns. The barn that used to be in Johnson County, now in northeast Kansas City, or the Bell Road Barn up north of the river. And no one's exactly sure or can present proof of who is actually the longest operating theater group. But it is one of those two. There's no question about it. So it's a theater with a barn, the Bell Road Barn Players, doing An Awkward Christmas. It's actually, if Jake and David, how much of this should I tell, was a professor at Park University, and his children needed something to do in the summer. So he started this, since he did theater anyway, at his barn, on his farm, on Bell Road in Parkville. One of his daughters, of course, and I don't think she'd mind me saying it, Janie Fopiano. Remember Janie from Milgram's commercials. You're probably not old enough. That was her. That was her. So that's what they do. So 14 pieces altogether, and I assume if there's one that's not to your particular liking or reminds you too much of your actual family, that could happen too. There'll be another piece coming up pretty soon. Is it all anchored by Santa?
It is all anchored by Christmas.
By Christmas.
That okay. is. There are several that are Santa themed.
Sure. Well, what's Diane going on to do after this? Do you have plans to direct or perform?
Possibly. I might hit some auditions. I might be involved in the Fringe Festival next year.
Ah, yeah. What about Michael?
My next show is at the Chestnut Fine Arts Center, Beau Geste.
Oh.
Yeah,
he usually only does musicals, or is this a musical version?
No, it's just straight play.
That's
here.
A departure mm-hmm. for him down
yeah.
there. Sure. What about Jamie?
Well, I'm going to be developing a new full-length murder mystery show with KCMP starting in January that's been commissioned. And I'm still working on a series of horror comedies that I'm hoping to get off the ground by Halloween next year.
And will that be part of the murder mystery series or something else?
No, that would be unrelated. We're hoping to find a venue and find some delight in some gruesome things.
Yes. Well, the butler never does it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just all part of it, I assume. Well, good job. Thank all of us. Jamie Linderman, the playwright. He has written 3 of the plays in this presentation of 14 pieces altogether. Diane Bulland, who is the director of the 3 pieces that Jamie wrote. And Michael Junker is an actor who plays Santa. So you have the yeah. same costume and makeup every
he's
time.
He's not in. That was one question I asked Maggie Mark. It's like, is this an actual full Santa get up? Because that's hot.
Yeah.
I get hot easily. But no, it's just a mall Santa off the clock. You know.
Off the clock.
Yeah, off the clock.
What do they do when they're off hours?
You'll find out.
Yeah.
Yes, we will. In the Bell Road Barn Place production of An Awkward Christmas based on those awkward Christmas photos you see from lots of people every year, and the story behind what made that possible. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us on.
We're going to take a brief break. When we return, we're going to talk about some interesting music. The Westport Center for the Arts is having its holiday December brown bag concert coming up, and Jan Krabiel, the organist, will be with us. We're going to talk organs. We're going to talk about sacred music and the kind of music that she plays, all with the Westport Center for the Arts Brown Bag Concert coming up this Friday, the 14th. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. A strong performance by Willem Dafoe is the main attraction of the eccentric biopic At Eternity's Gate, the story of the last days in the life of Vincent van Gogh. Filmmaker Julian Schnabel is also a renowned artist, so this ambitious art house entry may have some special appeal to aesthetes. While lofty pretensions aren't a bad thing, Schnabel's insistence on herky-jerky camera work and a glacial pace gets a little tiring. Individual scenes work beautifully, though, particularly a conversation van Gogh has with a priest, played by Mads Mikkelsen, who must decide whether or not to release the troubled artist from an asylum. At Eternity's Gate may still be a bit too affected for its own good. The most acclaimed operatic diva of her time is the subject of the documentary Maria by Callas. Footage from TV interviews and home movies allows Callas to tell her own story. Callas's letters are read by famed soprano and Kansas City native Joyce DiDonato. The film covers Callas's insulated youth, her rise to fame, the heat of the spotlight, and her on-and-off romance with Aristotle Onassis. Maria by Callas is intriguing, even for non-opera fans. Ron Perlman plays an aging hitman in Asher, a violent thriller that also stars Famke Janssen as a woman who he falls for. There are more than a few moments in Asher that stretch credibility to the limit, and the whole affair seems a bit too familiar. Asher just misses the target. Also opening this week, Neverending Man, Hayao Miyazaki, is a documentary about Japan's most famous and acclaimed anime director. The Mercy is a drama that tells the true story of an amateur sailor's disastrous attempt to win a solo around-the-world yacht race in 1968 to save his failing business with the cash prize. Oscar winners Colin Firth and Rachel Weisz star. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame! This is federal worker Cynthia Lee of the Department of Treasury Financial Management Service, and I encourage all of my federal worker friends to support KKFI 90.1 FM during the combined federal campaign. Donating a few dollars each pay period can help keep community radio on the air in Kansas City. Designate your tax-deductible donation to KKFI CFC Agency Code 21994. Thank you for supporting community radio.
Johnson County Meals on Wheels is looking for some volunteers. If you are interested, please contact them at 913-715-8895. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Yes, we have all kinds of holiday interviews now. This is a fun type of the year. Every organization and the shows they're doing and all of that. As you know, if you've listened in the past, the Westport Center for the Arts has a monthly brown bag concert. Brown bag meaning it's at lunchtime. And so you bring your own lunch. You can bring it in a brown bag, of course. And you can eat during the noon hour, which is unusual to have a theatrical type event going on in the city. But it starts at 12:10 p.m. and lasts until 1. And it's always at the Presbyterian Church right here in Westport, the one where they had the big fire a number of years ago. They're rebuilt. They're back. They're going. And they're having their monthly brown bag concert this Friday, December 14th at 12:10 p.m. at the Westport Presbyterian Church, and with us to tell us all about what she's going to play. And, oh, I have all kinds of questions. Dr. Jan Craybill is with us. She is the organ conservator at the Kauffman Center and organist in residence at the Community of Christ headquarters in Independence. She plays and oversees the care of three of the Kansas City metro area's largest pipe organs. At a very young age, she played her first European piano recital in England, has performed in many venues across the U.S., Australia, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, Germany, Poland, South Korea, Tahiti, oh, that was a good gig, the Netherlands, United Kingdom. She has done recordings. She, in fact, was nominated for a Grammy in 2015 and has a CD coming out this year. Welcome to the show once again, Jan Craybill.
Great to be here.
It's nice to have you with us as well. It pays to keep up on those music lessons, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, I'm so grateful to my parents, actually, for providing the motivation when some kids, including me, lose motivation for practicing and things. My life is just so full of variety and fun that I just cannot be anything but grateful to my parents.
It got you around the world.
It did, yes. Yeah. It's amazing.
And in some of the probably wonderful settings.
Yes, beautiful settings. People frequently ask me, where is my favorite pipe organ, and I always say it's whichever organ I'm playing, because they're all unique and they're all wonderful. They're all custom designed for their locations, and the locations are gorgeous, so yeah. How can I complain about any of them?
At the Westport Center for the Arts website, the show is entitled Jan Craybill's Sounds of the Season, so I guess it's going to be holiday-type music.
Yeah, this is a great time of year for any musician, and as you said, we're all busy, and it's wonderful to be busy this time of year. My challenge always is when I'm invited to do a program like this, my stack of music is miles high of potential things that I could put on the program. So I could play for 6 hours if people would listen for 6 hours.
Oh, well, why not?
But, yeah, why not? This time of year, nobody has anything else to do, right? So that's always the challenge, is to condense it down into an hour. But I think that I've come up with an hour of programming that people will enjoy. It's full of variety. It represents Christmas traditions from around the world and from centuries ago up until the present day. So I've had a great time preparing for it, and I can't wait to play it on Friday.
Well, we can talk about some of the pieces if you'd like, but I'm curious. I'm a curious sort. I am. But you take care of three of the Kansas City metro area's largest pipe organs. So yes. You go from place to place. What do we mean by taking care of? Do you
So an organ is a complicated machine. So, for instance, in the Kaufman Center instrument, there are 5,685 pipes.
Wow.
And each of those pipes is a separate musical instrument of its own. So it's like having 5,000 flutes or 5,000 trumpets. And as you know, a flute or a trumpet takes care. You have to tune it occasionally or maybe very regularly. And there are basic pieces that can wear out over time if they're made of leather, or even if they're made of metal, they can get bent. So all of those pipes in that particular organ require care, and the mechanism by which I play those pipes also requires regular care. So it's a machine like your car, or actually a better analogy is your house. There are lots of things that go into a functioning home, and sometimes the dishwasher fails or the water heater fails, and so you have to keep up with all of those regular maintenance things in order for this musical instrument to sound at its best.
Sure. Well, that's a very good explanation.
Well, great.
And it gives you a chance to keep yourself in tune, so to speak.
That's true.
And I know musicians that play their instrument every day, a few minutes every day.
Oh, of course, yes. It's a great day when I can play at all. And if I can play for 6 hours, if I can practice for 6 hours, that's a dream day for me.
Yes. The three largest, people are thinking, well, what are they? I'm going to assume the one in Independence is one of them.
That's true. There are actually two in Independence, and they're across the street from each other. So in the auditorium. And one in the temple that belonged to Community of Christ. The denominational headquarters is in Independence.
Well, that's not a very far walk. Or you could take that tunnel.
That's true. There's a tunnel beneath the streets, yes.
Which one is actually the oldest? The one in the auditorium?
Right. The auditorium one was built in 1959, and it is also the largest. It has 6,334 pipes.
Yeah.
And then the one in the temple is slightly smaller. It was built in 1993, and the newest of them is at the Kaufman Center, built in 2011.
Oh, you have some great locations then.
Yes. Yes, gorgeous locations. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my high school graduation was in the auditorium many, many moons ago.
Oh, not that
I remember.
Long ago.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid so. Yeah, it was many, many moons ago, but the organ was even playing for that.
Mm.
That wouldn't have been you. You would have probably not been born yet.
I'm not sure about that. You don't look that old to me.
Well, but yeah, you get quite a few calls to do it, probably more than you can possibly do.
More calls for performances than I can do? Yes. I'm fortunate that way, that I get lots of requests for all sorts of performances and collaborative performances as well.
She'll be playing on Friday at 12:10 noon. I know that's an unusual time, but that's the way it works for these brown bag concerts. We've had folks on before, and they always talk about how different and unusual it is to perform at that time of the day. And I say, well, do you have a lot of people coming from work? Absolutely. Sometimes they actually bring a brown bag lunch.
I have been one of those people at many of these performances. So it's a great break in the day. You can eat your lunch while being entertained by great music. And then the church provides a little reception at the end, and so there are free cookies and punch and good conversations, so you can spend as long as you'd like.
That church is a great story. It had a tremendous fire a few years ago. They were able to rebuild and come back. It didn't damage the organ there at all?
It did, actually.
It did?
Yeah. Something that's not in my bio is that I, through circumstance, happened to be the last person to play the organ before it. Before the church burned, the organ was destroyed as the church was. The walls were left standing, and I love that this congregation worked together and built a new church within the historic walls of the old church. The organ is new. It was built by an organ builder named Martin Posse. And it's a gem of an organ. I love playing it. And Westport itself is a gem, and Westport Presbyterian is a gem within Westport. So all of these historical things play into my emotions surrounding this performance.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That'll happen, of course, this Friday, the 14th. So just show up, bring your brown bag, or whatever, if you want to stop at one of the places in Westport and get it to go. I'm sure that'll work out, too.
That's right.
And the concert is from 12:10 to p.m. till 1 o'clock p.m., giving you plenty of time then to get back to the office if that's where you need to go after hearing the concert. Would you like to talk about some of the individual pieces you'll be playing?
Sure. It's everything from old to new. So there is a piece based on a chant that's from the 10th century. We've been singing about Christmas forever in our world, and so I love going back to something historic like that. But the setting of it that I'm playing, it was actually composed rather recently by a friend of mine who lives in Omaha, Michael McCabe. So the mix of old and new is illustrated just in that one piece. And then one of my favorite pieces is a carillon on a Ukrainian bell carol, and that was also written by a composer alive today, a setting of an anonymous Ukrainian carol that we know as Carol of the Bells. So the it's one of my favorite pieces of music, and this setting is fresh and new and makes it come alive in different ways. And then there will be old favorites like Joy to the World and Silent Night, and other things that people will recognize. And
do you have a genre preference? Every student, every musician I know, when they talk about their days of learning and all of that, they always start them on the classical pieces first. Mm-hmm. Has that changed over the years, or is that still the basic?
I was started in classical music first. I'm not sure if it's changed over the years. The teachers that I know still start us on classical music, but one of the things that I love about this time of year is the lines between sacred and secular and classical and popular. All of those labels that we put on music tend to blur this time of year. So if I say to someone, Silent Night, most people know the words to that song. They'll call it a song, they'll call it a carol. Hardly ever will they say, oh, that's popular music or that's classical music. I like that those lines are blurred, and I like that Silent Night started as a guitar piece with voice, and now it's sung everywhere, a cappella with grand organs, all sorts of different places, different settings, and we all identify with that piece. So the universality of all of that draws me to this time of year, the music of this time of year, and I'm so glad we can celebrate it together.
That's one of those pieces where everyone knows the first verse.
Oh, of course.
When you get to the second, third, and fourth verses, it gets a little dicey.
That's true, but that's all right. We help each other through.
That's right. Yeah. Do you have a personal favorite?
It's hard to choose, but right now, because I'm practicing a lot, it's the Carol of the Bells. I did that repetitive bum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum. I just love the incessant nature of that.
It's very catchy, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's very catchy. And then there's a set of words that has been going through my mind that doesn't happen to be on my recital, but the text to a carol called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, there is a stanza that I'm drawn to right now that talks about making peace no matter what, and how bells can help us remember that peace on earth is a worthy goal. And I can't quote the text right now, but if anyone looks up I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, it's a gorgeous poem, whether sung or said or read. And that one right now, it resonates with me.
The concert, of course, is this Friday the 14th at 12:10 p.m. at the Westport Presbyterian Church, 201 Westport Road, if I didn't say so earlier. Their website is wcakc.org. And Jan Krehbiel is with us. She was nominated for a Grammy, and I need you to win because I have had a Tony winner, an Oscar winner. I need a Grammy winner to come in there too. So the pressure's on.
Okay.
I want to be able to say I've had winners in all those categories.
I tell you what, there are Grammy winners that are friends of mine that are right here in Kansas City. So I'll give you some recommendations. But yeah, I'd love to win sometime too.
Well, sure. I'll bet you would. That would be. What was that process like? Of course, you were honored, of course, to be part of being nominated.
Of course, and I was honored to even be invited to be part of this recording session. It was actually with the Kansas City Symphony. We recorded a symphony called The Organ Symphony, and I was the organist for that. It's by Camille Saint-Saëns. So the recording is gorgeous, and I'm so glad to be part of it. And then the additional honor of being nominated for a Grammy, that recording being nominated for a Grammy, was just surreal. It was amazing.
Now, is the website up to date? Do you have a CD coming out
this
year?
I do, yes. It'll be coming out this season. season. This year, by which I meant the season. So it'll probably come out early in 2019. It's a CD recorded at the Kauffman Center, a solo organ CD, but it's all organ transcriptions. So pieces that were not written expressly for the organ, but have been transcribed for the organ. It was a lot of fun to record.
Oh, a gentleman over at Community of Christ. It was the auditorium, I'm thinking, an older gentleman. I don't know if he still does this. It's been a few years. But he took me down to the room where he kept the recordings.
Uh-huh.
And he was transcribing the recordings from tape to digital type material.
Yeah.
But they go way back. So you have a whole collection of things probably in that room.
That's right. Yeah. For a long time, there was a radio show called The Auditorium Organ. John Obetz was the organist for it. It ran for 31 years. And we have those reel-to-reel tapes, and they are slowly being transcribed onto more permanent media.
Oh, sure. So you could have more CDs and not even realize it, I suppose.
Yes. And I would love, my mentor, John Obetz was such a treasure in Kansas City, and sadly he's no longer with us, so we can still hear his voice through those recordings.
And you've traveled, as I read earlier, literally around the world at a very young age. It said it, but I'm not going to I'm not going to repeat it, but you did your first recital in England.
I did, yes.
What was that like at a young age?
Yeah, I was a teenager. It was scary, and it was an honor. It was amazing to be there and to be there to play. And I had no idea at the time that I would get to do this for a living, that I would get to travel like I do and perform in so many different places and meet so many different people. I had no idea that as a teenager that was the trajectory that my life would follow, and I'm so grateful for it.
What is it like to play in some of these many countries? Is Europe different from the United States? And is a lot of them were in Europe, but also Australia as well. What is it like from country to country? What they enjoy in organ music?
Yeah, it does vary, and the instruments themselves vary, and of course the venues vary. So playing in Chester Cathedral in England, and walking up this stone spiral staircase to the organ and knowing that those stones were put in place centuries prior is just amazing. And then when I was in Australia, it was at Christmas time, but of course that's Australian summer, so it was well over 100 degrees every single day.
Oh, wow.
And to celebrate Christmas in a place where it is so very warm was a completely different experience. The people, everywhere I've gone, the people have been warm and welcoming. I cannot think of a single experience where I haven't been warmly welcomed, but just with different cultures, different traditions, and different warmth, even. It's part of the fun part of my job.
Oh, sure. Well, you would be more easily accepted, I would think, if Def Leppard went over there.
Well, perhaps. I don't know. Some people hear organist and they got a raise in our eyebrow.
Now, don't get me wrong. Def Leppard is really good. They're nice and catchy, but it's different than your kind of music.
That's right.
I would think they would have no qualms about you. They might have qualms about some of the groups.
You never know.
Yeah. Music is probably...
I'm also a Harley writer. Did you read that in my bio?
So no, people, I didn't see
yeah,
that.
People think twice sometimes about that.
Do you have a big hog?
I do. Well, it's not terribly big because I like it to be fast, so I don't want it to be a really heavy bike, but boy, it corners like a dream. It really does.
You're not worried about injuring your hands or anything?
Sometimes I think about that. I'm a very careful rider, but when it's safe to go fast, I'll be going fast.
Do you have a handle?
No. I'm just Jan Crable, a Harley rider.
Okay. Organ mama. Big organ mama.
You gave me a hand.
But you can see her in person, and you can ask her about it yourself on Friday at 12:10 p.m. at the Westport Presbyterian Church, 201 Westport Road. If you've never been there, it's an interesting experience to see the new place down there. It'll happen, and it's called Jan Crabill's Sounds of the Season. So that'll be exciting for you. Well, probably not for you. You've played around the world.
Definitely exciting for me. Yes, I look forward to every single performance. People sometimes say, you know, is it boring to play on a smaller instrument when you play on such big instruments most of the time?
Sure.
No, it's not at all. This is truly a gem of an instrument, and I look forward to the performance, but I also look forward to the audience reaction to what I have to offer.
You are controlling a device that has, how many pipes did you say?
At the Kauffman Center?
Well,
I'm not actually sure at Westport. It's probably around 1,000, but I don't really know. At the Kauffman Center, it's more like 5,000, 6,000.
It's a big sound.
It is. Yeah, it's a lot of power. And in that way, it parallels what I do as a Harley rider. It really is. I mean, there are pipes on both things, and they're both massive machines.
I see the pattern now.
Yeah.
I understand you better now. Is it different from, like playing in South Korea, for instance? Mm-hmm. Was that what they expected from you? Was that different than what the European countries
were? The big difference in South Korea was how technologically advanced they are and how technology plays into the performance. So I learned very quickly over a period of about a week and a half that I had in South Korea with performances nearly every day.
Uh-huh.
I learned very quickly to be comfortable with cell phones and recording devices and people just on top of me. They would get out of their seats and I'd be surrounded by people with cameras, and then those people would leave and there would be more people. It was just it was amazing in a way, and it was pressure packed in a way too. When you have a cell phone, you know, it taking a video that is just inches from your hands, you become very much aware about your technique. And
sure.
That's something I don't really think about anymore.
Probably
in
not.
A normal course of things.
Yeah, I know several musicians. Some of them teach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that, well, if you teach the piano and the violin, you probably play the violin and the piano. But they come back often and say, I can play every instrument in the orchestra. Is that true of you as well?
Well, my first degree is in education, and at one time I could play every instrument.
Wow.
But that has been years ago. And so I am not an active teacher anymore because I travel so much. It wouldn't be fair to students to say, you know, practice every day and I'll see you in 3 months. So I wish that I could teach, and I would like to return to teaching. But right now my job is to travel, and I'm enjoying that.
What is the most difficult instrument to play? I met someone over the weekend who was playing the accordion, and I had accordion lessons as a kid, and it was easy at first, but after a while the coordination between the fingers and the keys over on each side, that got to be really hard. You had to, especially when you had to stretch that small finger.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just had my first accordion lesson about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just happened to be staying in the same place with an accordionist. Maybe. I don't know. I might have just made up a word. Anyway, I asked him if I could have a lesson. He gave me a lesson. And I realized it is a lot of coordination and a lot of complex things that you have to control at the same time. The organ is also a complex instrument because you're playing melodies with your feet as well as with your hands. And that's the only instrument that requires you to do that. If you're a drummer, sometimes you play rhythms with your feet as well as your hands, but an organist has to play melodies. And, for instance, in that piece that I talked about based on Gregorian chant, the melody is actually played by my feet. So it has to be not only played, but played gracefully and with shape as I would with my hands. It's a lot more difficult to do that with your feet, especially when your hands are busy on other things.
Oh, sure. Well, that's a great point you made. You not only play with both hands, you play with both feet as well.
Yeah.
People don't think of that. What goes on underneath those keys?
But the great thing is, if I'm having a horrible day and my mind is full of troubles and worries, if I can just get to an organ somewhere and practice, my brain isn't big enough to make space for all of that coordination and the worries. And so the worries leave. And so I can just forget about things for a while because my brain is full of all of that coordination. And the music also draws worries out of me and replaces those with joy.
Do you hear the melodies in your sleep?
Oh, yes. I wake up every morning with some melody, and it's interesting. I still haven't figured out the meaning behind it. You know, so each morning I wake up with something in my brain, and sometimes I write those down to try to find a pattern or some meaning, and there's hardly ever anything that I can discern. But yes, it's always present. There are always melodies in my mind.
Well, you can meet Jan and hear her play, well, probably at the Kauffman Center often, and at the Community of Christ. But this Friday at the Westport Presbyterian Church, you can hear her playing Jan Craybill's Sounds of the Season, part of the Brown Bag Concert Series. It starts at 12:10 p.m. Just take your brown bag or stop by a place really quick, and you can actually take your brown bag down to the Westport Presbyterian Church, eat lunch while listening to Jan play her presentation of Songs for the Season. It'll last until 1 o'clock. Then you'll be able to get back to work probably in short order. That's the purpose of the Brown Bag series. Number to call, I didn't write down the number because the church is busy, of course, but just go down there, 201 Westport Road, the Westport Presbyterian Church. The website, if you need more information, wcakc.org. 12:10 p.m. It'll be over by 1 at the Westport Presbyterian Church here in Westport. One of the annual things that happens around Kansas City. And you've probably been involved in many things like that, involved in the holiday season.
Yes, just finished 4 performances of Messiah last week, and I'm doing the Kansas City Symphony's Christmas Festival coming up this week, and it's just a time full of music.
She's very busy.
Yeah.
Dr. Jan Craybill, organist conservator at the Kauffman Center and organist in residence at the Community of Christ headquarters in Independence. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
The Jazz Insider is coming up next. You play jazz as well?
I do. Not very well, though.
The Jazz Insider is coming up next. Sam Weissman, he'll be playing some fine jazz this afternoon. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. Then we'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station. 30 years now. Almost 31 in the spring. On your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.